It's the sound of One Track Mind on 90.7 FM KPFK. I'm your host, Christy Lomax, and tonight my guest on the show is Dawn T. She's a singer, songwriter for film and television, and she's also worked with artists including Common, Nelly Furtado, and John Legend. Her debut album is called Kaleidoscopic, and it's out now on More About Music. But before we speak with her, let's take a listen to a song from the album. This is Look At.
You got the thing so rare. I got the oh yeah. You got the sweet, sweet soul. Cinnamon glow. You got the hey, I'm round. I got the yeah, I'm down. You bring the holidays. I got the lover's haze. Flowers in my garden, it's all you, darling. Look at what you started.
Well, Dawn T, welcome to the show.
So happy to be here. Very, very happy to be here, Christy. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for making the time. So the album is called Kaleidoscopic.
Exactly.
It's out now on More About Music. So this is your debut.
My debut.
Record, a full length.
Exactly.
But you are certainly no stranger to the music business. You are.
Absolutely.
A singer and a songwriter, mm-hmm. been in the industry for quite some time, have assisted Nelly Furtado, John Legend.
I've done support for them.
Common.
I co-wrote for Common and Jill Scott the song I Am Music. I co-wrote that. I've for a while been behind the scenes writing songs that are licensed directly to TV and film. And so I think what people might not know is that I Sony Pictures Badass, which was Mario Van Peebles and Melvin Van Peebles, the soundtrack, the BBE soundtrack I was a part of as well.
Mm.
And yeah, one of my songs, Love, is a part of that. I wrote for Kevin Hill, the UPN show with Taye Diggs. A song of mine was in that as well. So, yeah, I've been doing a lot of things behind the scenes, as well as being a performer. But this is the big one. This is
the full-length album.
Yeah, exactly.
A natural progression. Did it take you by surprise, or it was always in the back of your mind, one day I'm going to do a full-length album?
You know, Christy, it was in the front of my mind. I know a lot of artists come into the music industry, a lot of recording artists come into the music industry from the back door, and you know they can't wait till the day until they have their album out and people know them in the foreground. For me, I identify and really connect with the idea of being a writer as much as I am a singer. So because of that, even as a recording artist, I'm not going to stop doing a lot of the behind the scenes things that I'm doing. Although I'm very excited, and this is a next place for me, I don't experience it like, wow, you know, I finally got here, because all of it was here.
Mm-hmm.
Writing behind the scenes, getting songs licensed to TV and film was it for me. I was here. That's one of the things that I wanted to have happen for myself in my career, performing in the way that I have as well. So this, yeah, it's a little bit of a natural progression, but I don't plan to let go of any of what I've been doing.
It's all a part of the continuum.
Yeah, I'm not certain that I could just be a recording artist, you know, and let go of building the relationships that I have, you know, with other artists and seeking opportunities that way, as well as it's a joy for me to see a film and know that I'm a part of the action and moving the film forward sonically and me not be seen. So that's there's something in that for me. So
let's talk about your career as a songwriter and how you got started down that particular path.
Yeah, it was very early. I grew up in a musical family, so music was around 24/7 every day. My dad was a recording artist. He was a recording artist and actually discovered it 13 years old. And so it was during the doo-wop era in the late 50s. My mom also had a very strong musical background. She was a ballet dancer and tap dancer with companies for most of her childhood. And in fact, tap with legends, the Four Step Brothers, they were her trainers as a kid. And and Charles Honey Cole was another of her trainers. And so by the time she met my dad, she too joined his group and their approach. And I think because they had their kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum, my father was kind of bringing to the family that soul, the country and gospel, and a little bit of the rock. My mom was bringing the jazz and the classical element. It was just this full immersion into the world of music. And so they were music historians of a sort. And so everything was available, you know, exposure to Phoebe Snow and Roberta Flack and Nina and Charlie Pride and, you know, Shirley Bassey. And I knew back then that words impacted me as well as music, maybe lyric.
Your dad was a singer. Did he write as well?
Yeah, he wrote as well. He was, we're going to call him a three-hit wonder. So, I mean, pretty legendary. He has a star on the Music Walk of Fame in Philadelphia. So it's similar to what Los Angeles has, the Star Walk, and with Patti LaBelle and Riccardo Muti and, you know, famous classical musicians and Hall & Oates and those folks. So Lee Andrews it was his stage name.
Okay.
So Lee Andrews and the Hearts was the group that made him, you know, famous. And so
at 13.
It's a very interesting experience because his family was from the South. I love this story. And so they were Pentecostal, you know, Christian people who didn't listen to what they called reels. And so that was any secular music. And so he would sneak away, you know, go to the street corners and sing. And it was that classic story of a manager meeting him going, like, kid, I want to make you a star. And so he was on American Bandstand and all of these shows at 13,
wow,
like skipping school and, you know, gathering his own celebrity. And his parents were none the wiser. So this was it was very interesting. But I think that also informs, like, who he was creatively, musically, you know, as a father, why it was really important for him to instill a musical knowledge because he was cut off from that. Yeah. So that he approached it with some intensity.
Did he ever talk to you about lyrics and writing or anything?
Yeah. Not specifically, but he enjoyed lyrics. He enjoyed Nat King Cole was a favorite of his. He understood and communicated the power of words and how they can tell a story within a song. So, yeah. And he was very much a romantic in his writing. People that know the music of that time, his hits were Long Lonely Nights, Teardrops, and Try the Impossible. And so they're definitely very... It's very intense. When you look at not only this album, but a lot of the work that I do for TV and film, a lot of that stuff is more down-tempo, actually. It's a little bit of a different vibe than what I'm doing with this album, and the lyrics are definitely kind of more intense, and yeah.
So I'm just curious, what was that first record that you heard that made you think, I want to, or was there a record that you heard where you definitively knew, I want to write songs?
Yeah, actually, I remember at some point my parents playing for me Phoebe Snow, her debut album, and Second Childhood was on it. And just the way that she approached lyrics, it just really resonates with me when a writer does that. Jill Scott does that a lot with her writing. It's very colorful. Mm-hmm. It's very visual. And I identify with that kind of writing. But it was that album in particular, her debut album, that, yeah, impacted me. I knew then, yeah. But, you know, my dad shared his music with me mm-hmm. as a kid, and there's a song of his, Maybe You'll Be There, that it was on vinyl, and, you know, he would play it. And so the lyrics were, each time I see a crowd of people, just like a fool, I stop and stare. I know it's not the proper thing to do, but maybe you'll be there. And there was elegance in it. And it was just all very beautiful and intriguing for me. So I just think I was impacted. I want to say that there was one moment. There were many moments that just reached out and grabbed me. Yeah.
What was the first song that you wrote?
Oh, okay. Okay, my first song. I was very pensive. I was a very thoughtful kid. I don't think I've grown out of it. I have, because I was just very aware of what was happening in the world, and a very sensitive kid. Mm-hmm. And so there was a song that I wrote called Colors, and it was about, you know, I just wanted everyone to love one another and to get along. It was so simple. I was eight. You know, I dare to even to say what the lyrics are, but I'm going to go all the way out there. why not? So I'm eight. You know, I had it's not the most profound thing at all, but it's what it's like to be a child. The world may never know, and people try to judge each other by the way their colors grow. There are many kinds of colors, as people often say, but we only greet the color that's made our way. Colors are nice, colors are clean, colors are frightening, colors are mean. If you judge things by their color, if you judge things by their gleam, if you judge things by appearance, then this is the big moment. I expect that you are mean. That was, and I thought I was doing something back there that was like, oh, wow, yes, that's, you know. But yeah, I was thinking about things like that. And there was another song that I wrote. I was probably 9 years old, and it was later published, actually. So that was my first published work and contribution in Montgomery Bay was the name of it. And the subject matter, and it was actually a little bit more intense, but it was about a homeless man that was, you know, on the street corner, and mm-hmm. and some of what I fantasized that he thought about, and also being an alcoholic. And the chorus went, but like the old man said, nothing proud and nothing shame, nothing ventured, nothing gain, and there can't be no life without pain. And so, but that's how impacted, you know, at 9 years old, mm-hmm. that it kind of drew that response out of me. So, yeah, I've just always identified with expression.
In case you're just tuning in, it's 90.7 FM KPFK. My name's Christy Lomax, and you're listening to One Track Mind on your Friday night from 10 p.m. until 12 midnight. A bit of a special edition, a special show this evening, as my guest is Miss Dawn T, singer and songwriter, an extensive background writing songs for film and television. And earlier this summer, she dropped a full-length album called Kaleidoscopic on More About Music. And it is a journey into future soul, house, and electronic dance music. And so this is a interview that we did earlier this year, during the summer, about a month before the album is dropped. And so now that it's out, it's getting fair play on blogs and radio stations alike, including KPFK. I thought it was time to officially introduce Dawn T to the LA audience. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my special guest, Miss Dawn T, on 90.7 FM KPFK, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and for the world at www.kpfk.org. www.flowersinmyyard.org.
You also grew up in Philadelphia, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
You are in the heart.
Absolutely.
Of, you know, a major mm-hmm. movement mm-hmm. in music. Just
yeah.
incredible. I mean, Tom Bell, Gamble and Huff,
exactly.
Phyllis Hyman, OJ's, yeah. Billy Paul. I mean, it's all sitting right there.
Yeah.
I'm imagining it was probably very easy to find other people to be bandmates if you were going to form a band. But as someone who says, no, I want to write songs, which is also a very solitary career path, how did you sort of build that community, or was it easy to do that?
I think you said it. Being a songwriter, it sometimes is a very solitary experience. What shifted for me was when I started writing for TV and film, because it had to be more inclusive. Time is an element, and so sometimes it's not me just sitting and coming up with, you know, what has to be and communicating that. It's me writing to a track, or mm-hmm. it's, you know, something that already exists because of whatever factor. So it caused me to have to approach writing in a lot of different ways. And I've been in a lot of unusual situations as a writer, even when I was brought in to write for Commons Electric Circus for Jill, for I Am Music. It was actually pretty intense. It was around the time that she was nominated for Best Artist of the Year. And so she didn't have a lot of time to be in the studio to write. And she was coming through Philadelphia, and the airport is about 15 minutes away from the studio. I think her layover was like a half an hour, 45 minutes. And MCA at the time really wanted Common to bring both Mary and Jill. But the writing aspect, like, Jill wasn't going to have time to write.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think my particular gift is because I'm a storyteller, and I think there's the sensitive element too in writing for people that I've, you know, just hung out in the studio with and written for them, or however those projects are coming about. I think my particular gift is to kind of study and kind of get someone's personal story and put the words out as though they would have written them. Most folks go, wow, who did this? You don't know me, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that was the experience. Jill came in. I ran down to the studio the day before. I didn't, you know I was going to be a part of the project. I rarely get sick, but I had the flu the day before, which is always great when you have to write a song in the dead of winter. And so I get a call from the studio. My brother's there. And if folks don't know, my brother is Questlove of the Roots. And my brother's like, you know, hey, can you be here in 15 minutes? Jill's coming in. MCA needs her on this. She doesn't have time to write. She was promised. And I need you to nail it. And he knows of this ability that I have, because we've done some other things behind the scenes that haven't
come to light. Yeah.
Come to light. I mean, we've done things that have come to light, like the BBE Songs for Radiohead's project and mm-hmm. that. But then we've worked with other artists, you know, in the studio and that. So I said yes, and, you know, I could be there, but he had to make me like the little cat bed in the corner, because that's how ill I was. And so he had blankets in like a little bed in the corner. And when I got there, it was dressed like a Sherpa. And with my little bunny shoes on, and I was not recognizable. He sent the cab for me. I got in, got it at the studio. You know, no one even knew who I was. I just, you know, again, I just looked like a Sherpa in the corner. And he handed the mic under. I did the, you know, the test demo. I probably had about 20, you know, minutes to do it. And it was very funny, because at the time, Common hadn't written the lyric yet, but he knew it was, you know, he knew the idea. So it was a very intense experience, because I'm thinking, there's a lot of pressure here.
This is a key, you know? This is a key
right.
part of the song.
Right. This is the chorus.
This is the chorus.
And in a few seconds, she's going to have to nail it. And so, you know, I'm talking to him, and I, you know, I'm like, Rashid, like, you know, what's the song about, and there are no lyrics here. And he's like, you know, love, love, you know, love and music and love. And I'm like, oh God, oh God. I'm like, all right, here we go. But, you know, I also knew that, you know, I thought, well, I knew Jill had, you know, she was in a relationship that she was enjoying. You know, I know she enjoys fine cuisine. You know, that's something
that's
really
a staple.
And I thought, you know, candy sweet, your words are better. I was just saying to myself the other day, most don't believe in the magician, but you're bewitching because of this, I must say. Like I, that just, you know, I thought, yeah, she could commit to that.
Candy sweet, your words.
So you're writing for others, you film and TV, and boom, you run into Sinbad.
Right. Well,
lots have happened in
right.
between.
Well,
but
here's the thing. I actually did run into Sinbad. I ran into him in Philadelphia. So it was very coincidental. I was actually working on an album project with someone, and it was taking a while, you know, we were going through all the details of it, and we were a year into it, and, you know, it was going how it was going. And I got a call in Philadelphia from Junior on a day that I'd landed coming back from Los Angeles in Philadelphia. And he says, hey, the Sunday party, which is a house party that happens every Sunday that Lee Jones has in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. which is, you know, a real cool thing happening out there right now. And he's like, yeah, stop by. King Britt is spinning and I want you to meet somebody. And he's been a real fan for a while now and was really intrigued with the idea of hearing my voice with stuff that Sinbad was, you know, do with his style. I didn't know this. I just knew I was meeting someone mm-hmm. Sunday night. So we meet, and Sinbad, he is a London-based French DJ producer. He spoke a lot of French, and I spoke just the little bit of French that I know. And then we talked about being Libras, which we both are. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of went off into some side things, and we felt kindred, you know, at the Sunday party. And 8 days later, the album was complete, a literal 8 days. The writing, there was nothing there before, the mixing and the mastering. That Kaleidoscopic was born. A few people ask, you know, did you have a concept? Or at some point early on, did you know the direction you were going? And I don't know, it was kind of this intuitive flow, and it became what it was, you know. I've been really listening to a lot of house and soulful house, deep house, and really interested in a lot of the new disco movement that's happening right now with DFA and LCD Sound System, Hercules and Love Affair, and mm-hmm. Hot Chip and folks like that. And I think that some of that filtered into, you know, what we were doing as well to create Kaleidoscopic. But it captured a moment in time of what I was thinking about and kind of just where I was at that moment. The first song that we did was Kisses. That was the first song that we wrote together. What I loved about it was that the uncertainty. There was a lot of oneness, a lot of cohesiveness with our writing style. Even though the music was there and the lyrics came after, and then sometimes I would think and hum, you know, something or other, and he'd chime in, you couldn't really tell what was happening first. And so it was uncertain, but it just opened up. He's noodling, or I start humming something, and he says, well, go with that. You know, what are the lyrics and, you know, with that? And I'm thinking, well, when I'm humming that, I'm thinking this. And he's like, cool, you know. And so he begins. And it was all happening at the same moment, which I don't think that I ever left the studio with, you know, the music, and then I went and thought of what might go with it so I could hear it as it was happening and he could respond to what I was doing.
Don't you bring me flowers?
FM KPFK. You're listening to One Track Mind with me, your host and your DJ, Christy Lomax. This is an interview with singer-songwriter Dawn T, talking about her latest release, her debut album entitled Kaleidoscopic on More About Music. And we just heard one of the songs from this album entitled Kisses. When you agreed to work together, was there a time limit right off the bat that you were working under?
You know, Christy, there was no agreement. There wasn't a decision to make an album. We walked into the studio. He started playing. A few minutes later, we had a song, and it was Kisses. And that was pretty powerful, you know, to come up with that. And then the same day was Luna Garden. By the second day, we probably were four songs in, or five. He's thinking he's just in town for a couple days, you know, and, you know, I'll leave. I came to meet you, and it's cool. But then when you're 2 days in and you have four songs and four songs that are playable mm-hmm. on a radio or, you know, they could go mm-hmm. to vinyl, then you just stay for a few more days to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And so, but I think by 2 days in, we knew an album was happening, mm-hmm. but we never had the discussion about making an album together. Yeah, it was very organic.
When you're in the studio working with someone, does that pressure help the process? Does it hurt you? You know what I mean? Are you able to trust your instincts?
Well, I think that's the retreat portion that I was referring to, saying that, you know, you experience every possible emotion. It helps. Mm-hmm. It hurts. You know, we, at a certain point, at the end, you know, I think at some point, you know, I was sitting and I don't even remember what happened, but I completely have a girl moment. And he said something, he was, you know, directing me to do something. And that was a little unusual, you know, for like, he's making a strong suggestion. You should mm-hmm. try this thing. And so I say to him, okay, Sinbad, can we talk? And the look in his eyes, it was like, wait, are we married? What happened? Like, what's going on? mm-hmm. And it was the same for me. We went the full gamut of being in a room with someone who you don't know, who you respect artistically. You know, within a few minutes of meeting, he played me the height of his catalog. I played him the height of my catalog. We knew who we were dealing with. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, if, you know, there's intimidation in that, there's vulnerability in that. Mm-hmm. But then there's also, you know, the recognition that, you know, if you go into those places, you might find something magical, and kind of the trust aspect of, like, we know who each other is, so let's see what that would bring.
Let's talk about the sound of the right. record, Future Soul Electronica House. Yeah, I mean, yeah, what a nice amalgamation of genres and textures yeah. and everything. When I listen to the record, I hear dreamy and magical and ethereal and Milky Way. I mean, I just see...
There's some whimsy in there.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of intensity, you know, with Kisses and authenticity. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I really try to approach with authenticity some serious subject matter, but there's some whimsy in there, definitely. It is soulful, futuristic dance music. And, you know, basically, I think with dance music, house music, soul and hip hop have always kind of been a part of it is somewhere. I think what's happening now is with hip hop, it's embracing a lot of what dance music is doing, a lot of what house is doing. Mm-hmm. Hip hop is embracing that. So I feel like I'm kind of right on time with what's happening.
What is it about those genres? Deep house, that's my music right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you think that would be the best genre for this record?
You know, I love house because it's free. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the genres of music where I see people lyrically exploring things. There's so much freedom there. You can say a lot. You can be profound. You can be very simple. You can be playful. You can be spiritual, and it all seems to fit in that genre, you know, in a way that other genres are just, mm-hmm. they may be exploring a little bit right now, but not in the way that house music does. So it intrigued me. It is really, it's your authentic expression. Just let it out mm-hmm. and it'll do what it does.
Is there a song on the record that sort of demonstrates that experimental side of working that way?
I think authenticity does it in the way that I approach the verses and then what I do in the choruses. They're a little bit juxtaposed. You know, I'm telling the story, and it's what it is. It's about being authentic, and then I go into this whimsical place that I'm not sure with any other genre of music would be allowed, because, you know, it's also playing a little bit of a tribute to Dilla, but kind of house style. Like he kind of went there in the verses, and then we switched to someplace else. So it's like, wow, okay, yeah, this is different. But there was freedom there, and it fits.
You keep out. You running with who's who? What's your soul saying? What's your soul telling you? The top falls down, the heart falls down, the heart falls down, the walls falls down, the top falls down, the heart falls down. The top falls down, the heart falls down, the heart falls down, the walls falls down, the top falls down, the heart falls down. Giving you the blues. Nobody knowing what you go through. You can win by being how they want you to be. Authenticity. You can win by being how they want you to be. Authenticity. Authenticity. Is it love? And what you got to lose? Deep inside something, deep inside calling you. The top falls down, the heart falls down, the heart falls down, the walls falls down, the top falls down, the heart falls down. The top falls down, the heart falls down, the heart falls down, the walls falls down, the top falls down, the heart falls down.
When you write for yourself, are you more experimental normally, regardless of genre of music you might be working with?
I'm more experimental.
And when you have to take those demos, I guess, to others, are they really sort of trying to rewrite? Do you have a lot of rewriting or something to do to make it fit?
Have I been asked to dumb down some? Yeah. To simplify. I've been asked to be more simple so the lyric can be heard. And I can do both. Mm-hmm. Like I feel very comfortable doing both. And with house music, I like that you can play around with both extremes.
Mm-hmm.
You never really have to simplify. You can be as intellectual or as spiritual and heady. And, you know, you can be way out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit the nail and you come up with something fantastic. But with working with, you know, Christy, too, I've chosen to work in the past with a few people that we've been kindred. I'm thinking Daryl Swan. We did some stuff together. Daryl Swan is a writer for Macy Gray's first album. So he did a lot of the writing on that. He and I have done some work together. He's actually a California brother. And Jeremy Rizumna is also another writer on that album. Freddy Krueger, who, you know, he and I have done a lot of work together. So I think in some respects I've been lucky, or, you know, I don't know if it's that. I think just basically you kind of draw people to you, you know, who are like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't I haven't yet been in the situation where, you know, it's been so hard to kind of fit, you know, even writing my own stuff or writing with other, you know, I've connected with people who are similar.
Now, when you're making this record as well, being a woman from Philly, are you thinking, do you bring any of that history to, you know, does that impact you at all when you're making a record?
Here's the thing. I am from Philly. So, you know, people expect a certain level of innovation. Mm-hmm. They expect some forward thinking. And I've always identified with being that type of artist. And I think a lot of Philly throughout musical history has been that.
Do you have any concerns about the record reaching its full potential here because of the genre, you know?
The arena is opening up with, you know, folks like Khalees and Janelle Monáe. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just really time for that to be happening.
Sure.
In America. We loosen up the genres, you know, the alternative stuff becomes not alternative. It mm-hmm. just is music. And mm-hmm. I think that slowly people are opening up to that. I hope to participate in the U.S. in a way that, you know, folks kind of align me with that. And I help to push that forward, that mm-hmm. idea of, like, it's music. And be open to it. The title of the album, Kaleidoscopic, is about, for me, the broader spectrum. It's the title of the album, but it also is about the idea of embracing all of it. I have, and I certainly don't, as an artist, have the monopoly on having a broad spectrum approach. We were talking about Black women being innovators and music and all of that, and how the musical landscape is changing slowly in what we would term, you know, alternative genres, whatever they would be. But my bigger statement when I decided to title this album Kaleidoscopic, I was coming from a place of saying, don't even assume that this is the box that I'm in. How about that? How about this is an announcement of where I'm about to go? So, yeah, this is house, and I'm embracing it, and it's where I am. But you know what? I can break out an acoustic guitar, and that may be it. I may be yodeling through that entire, and if that's where I am authentically in that space and time, that, you know, I'm embracing it. I believe I'll be a force in pushing this envelope a lot further. Nina Simone and LaBelle and mm-hmm. all of that, and a time that I believe we're coming back to where it wasn't extraordinary. It just was what it was. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, sometimes extreme expression. It was passion. It was profound. It was intense. And sometimes it was, you know, soft and lovely and sexy and beautiful. And it was all of that. And that door is opening again. There are sisters out there that are embracing that in the spirit of those women again. And, yeah, definitely I'm one of them, so.
The lead single is Look At,
yeah.
And you have a slew of remixes
exactly.
on that. Danny
yeah.
Native.
Altered Natives, Todd Lattee, Matt Slinky, which is Zed Bias.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got something cool there. Matthew Bandy, he's the American who is living in London
mm-hmm.
Presently. And then we have Extra Breaks. He's a newcomer coming out of London, and so he's another.
Did you have a hand in deciding who would remix?
Well, here's the thing. I had a hand with my team, and, you know, in looking at what the album is doing and looking at the single, mm-hmm. revisiting that kind of broken and the new disco and all of that that's there, I really wanted to have producers that kind of went the full spectrum mm-hmm. so they could open it up in a way, the dubstep and the two-step and all of that, so mm-hmm. it could really just show a wide range of what I'm interested in. And Danny definitely definitely brought it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at he chopped that one up very good.
Yeah.
Will there be remixes of other tracks?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're working on something, but there is actually a remix album coming out. It's a secret. We can't really reveal.
Listen,
my label is listening, and they know. They told me, do not say anything yet. But people will be very surprised and very excited.
Really?
Yeah. It's not where they think it's going. It's not all the places they think. So remixes are coming. So
what's it like with you on the road presenting this album to the public?
The tour will actually be starting overseas, and then I swing back. I double back around to the U.S. But yeah, it's I work with a partial band, so there definitely is a significant live element with some, you know, some PA stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and some backup singers as well. Yeah,
okay,
it's a cool little
just some dancers.
Oh yeah,
some scantily clad dancers.
Yeah.
Doing some freestyle house moves.
Okay. Well, I do all that. I'm not sure how scantily clad. We're going to call me tastefully. Tastefully sexy. That's where I'm going. So, yeah.
Okay. So London, Philly, L.A. This is where you spend your time.
Yeah.
If you had to pick one. If you had to pick one.
Gosh.
Where and why?
I have to say London. And the reason I say London is because, for me, London has a bit of everything that I like. It's a little bit of L.A. It's a little bit of Paris. It's a little bit of that East Coast, Philly, New York. And so it incorporates all of that to me. I think that I would have to say. But Philly is home. And you know, my family is in Philly. Mm-hmm. You know, my extended family is in L.A. Mm-hmm. So, and they're listening in Pasadena as we speak. So I definitely, they will call me in a second and say, how could you not say? So I definitely, I'm here for family reunion. So I definitely want to give them some big ups. I love Pasadena, y'all. So yeah, I would say London. I there's a lot there that resonates with me. Just the approach and I guess even the common man's approach to music, that was something that surprised me.
What do you mean?
You know, people love music and lots of music heads, you know, all over the U.S. You don't really expect, you know, the everyday person to really be, you know, musically wise, if that's not your career or you're not a musician. And yeah, it was very surprising that, you know, folk that would not necessarily label themselves as creative have a real handle on music and, you know, house music, that sort of thing. And, you know, I have to respect that. But, you know, I love the U.S. There's just such an organic approach to music that, you know, it's very real in that way. So it would be hard for me to decide. So I'm not answering your question, Christy. I think, well, I did. London.
But you're going to retract that in about 5 minutes.
give me a second.
Well, the album is called Kaleidoscopic, and it is by my guest, Don T., who wants you to open your ears, open your mind, and just go along for this wonderful ride. It has been a pleasure talking with you this evening. Thanks so much for taking the time away from your family, from your huge schedule, and taking this wild adventure here at KPFK, One Track Mind. It's been great.
I've enjoyed it. And can I tell people where they can, if they want to reach out to me?
Oh, absolutely. Get your shout out, get your website plugs. Go for it.
Lovely. Okay. So if people want to contact me, I am on Facebook, as are most of you. And so the way you would reach out to me is Don T on Facebook. And so I have a music page there. And then I'm on Twitter, and that is DONN_T. And so you can reach out and come by and let me know you were listening. That would be cool.
Are you still hanging around MySpace?
I am, actually.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. You call me out. Like, wait, what happens in MySpace? Yeah, exactly. So it's Don T, D-O-N-N-T, on MySpace.
All right. Don, again, thank you so much for coming down and hanging
Thanks
out.
Thanks for having me, Christy.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right.
Nothing's gonna hold me back.